Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live, the place that's committed to not committing malpractice. That's who we are, and we're grateful that you've joined us here. And I've got some people that really care about you and care about you getting the best care, and I care about them. Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton are in the studio today, ready to take your phone calls. Hi, guys.
Steve, you are so caring. Yeah, I think you used the word care about 12 times there in the first sentence.
I think I did,
yeah.
Because we care
so
much.
Yeah, we do care.
Yeah,
and we care about you, too, and our listeners and viewers. So, hi, yeah. Alice.
Hi, Mylon.
Good to see you.
It's always good to see you.
Thanks.
Now, speaking of care, we've got our intimacy in marriage intensive coming up. And my sheet says, hey, talk about that. Well, all right. So, we feared that maybe people wouldn't be open. Maybe they wouldn't get better because of the online experience, but we've found that it works online, and people sometimes are even more open online than they were in person.
Well, I think it you know, being online or in a Zoom format or something along those lines, it's kind of a catch-22 because people think, well, I really don't like having to sit in front of a screen all day, but then they think, well, it's cheaper, you know, or I don't have to travel, and now it has benefits. So there's some challenging aspects, and then there are some beneficial aspects. I think as human beings, we all enjoy one another's presence primarily as a means of getting together. But I think you're absolutely right. The number of people that come out of that weekend or that day, I should say, they're reporting really good movement and changes in their relationship, and it's one of the best 12 hours you could ever invest into something. I think it would just give you a great jump start into really helping to create a shift that's meaningful in your relationship.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Alice.
There are three ingredients that always take place on those weekends, and one is God's presence and His grace, which is not limited to logistics. The other one is the incredible information that you learn being at this weekend. And the third is the safe environment in which you can start to apply and practice it. And you leave with a ready-built community who will help you continue to apply the information as you go forward.
Yeah, that is really true. And, you know, we love you. We care about you. That's why we've been here for 32 years doing this, exactly what we're doing. And we really want you to get the best help possible. You could be going to a therapist or a counselor and decide, you know, coming once a week, it's going a little slow. You come to us, we're going to give you a booster shot in the area of help and reconciliation, repair, understanding, and then you're right back there with your marriage counselor, but you're a little farther down the road. And that's what I like to see happen. So if you're interested, 1-800 New Life, that's the phone number to call, 1-800-NEWLIFE. You can find out about Every Man's Battle and our workshop for women who have been hurt by a man with a sexual integrity problem. That one is called Restore, and we will help you in any way we possibly can in the restoration process. But you have to call us first. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Really glad that you're with us. Check out the website. You can download the app on your phone and listen whenever it's convenient to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Question about anything you have, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to join us. And you might, if you're looking at Facebook Live right now, we're live right there. You could call us. We'll take a break and come back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Alice Benton, Mylon Yurkovich. Let's go to, how about we go and talk right off the bat here with Beth from Boise, Idaho. KBXL is the station. Hi, Beth. How are you today?
Oh, not that good, but I just appreciate having a brother and a sister on the air that I can call and be encouraged and given good words. I have a lot of Mylon and Case books. I am a pleaser, and my son died about a year ago, and I'm coming up on a year's anniversary of his death. And previous to that, a husband died 3 or 4 months before that, and then a mother and a brother. And I have always been the person that took care of everybody, and I feel like a dam has broken, and I feel like I'm going to totally lose it. I have never really felt like this before, and I'm just scared that I'm going to, I don't think I have a panic attack, but I've never experienced this heaviness, and I don't know if it's because it's back to back or just what.
Well, I'm glad that you called, because I think a lot of people, especially in tough times, they have this thing of, man, I might lose it, and they're afraid that they might quote unquote lose it. So let's talk to you and anybody that's afraid of losing it. Alice, let's start with you. What does a person do to be sure that they don't lose it when they feel like I'm really going into some desperate territory?
Beth, I hear the fear in your voice. I hear the tears in your voice. You have lost too many people in too short a time. And I'm sure that your identity has been changed and so disrupted because you cared for all these people and then you lost them all in close succession. So to not only be dealing with the grief of losing your loved ones, but also trying to figure out who you are now as a pleaser and as a caregiver, my heart aches for you and is heavy for you. This is very complex, layered grief that you are going through. And I want to reframe your pain a little bit, because I think in this shocking amount of pain and grief that you're feeling coming towards the anniversary, God is inviting you into a healing process. He wants to wrap his arms around you, and he wants to catch your tears. That's the kind of God that we have, and that's what he wants to do for you. And I imagine you have been so busy, probably through your whole life, taking care of other people, that it's very foreign for you to ask for help and accept it for yourself. Does that fit for you?
I have done that in the past. When my husband died, January of 2018, I needed to go to the Social Security office, and I went, I can't do this, and I went to my church, and I said, I need somebody to pray for me and to give me a hug, and they did, and it was just like, oh my, a B12 shot, or just encouraged me, and so I have done that in the past. With COVID, there's no grief share, there's no the counselor that you all recommended for me to see in Boise. There, it's all online, and it's just so hard that But I do go, and I just came in this awareness just this past weekend. I just wasn't even aware that I had all of this stuff. So I put it on the prayer card. I will go to my girlfriend. I ask, I share with my husband, and so I know I just have never felt this fear. Tell God what I need. Don't worry about anything. What's that anything?
Yeah. Let me ask Mylan to weigh in on this. Mylan, your thoughts here for her that might help her.
You know, Beth, I want to rephrase something you said a moment ago. You said you're a pleaser because you've read her books, and may I suggest you're a recovering pleaser. you're not a pleaser anymore, pure, unadulterated, unchecked.
That's correct.
Good. And I tell everybody that. We don't want to stay with those handles describing us. We all want to move towards secure connection. So, but as a former pleaser myself, I know that I didn't know how to identify my own feelings well at all. I was very hypervigilant and attuned to others for the purpose of trying to caretake them so they would smile so I'd feel better because they were smiling. So I was... It was a manipulative reason why I was caring for people. Now, I also did care for them, but I realized that when I was in pain, I didn't know what to do with that pain. It was foreign to me. I was used to taking care of everybody else's pain. So often, just realizing your role as a caretaker and having others to focus upon has been diminished or drastically lowered. And what happens there is that all of a sudden you're overwhelmed with all these feelings, and it's absolutely frightening, I may say to you. I've been there too. And I just want to encourage you, sometimes it does evoke panic. Sometimes it does evoke massive levels of fear and anxiety. But that's okay, because if I'm with someone or I have others helping me, fear and anxiety comes in waves. It goes up and down, and it's not fatal or final. I want to remind you that Jesus lost it. The night before he died, Jesus lost it. The stress was so immense that the book of Hebrews says there was great loud wailing and tears. There was begging before God to please take this cup from me. Is there another way we can do this? And he was so distressed physiologically that there was sweat that was all commingled with his blood. He had blood and sweat dripping down him. That's how much Jesus lost it the night before he died on the cross. So, you know, learning to become comfortable with emotions is one of the biggest journeys of recovering pleasers, and to allow themselves to feel and to realize all crying eventually stops. All panic will stop, and anxiety will stop if I do several things. One, if I'm with people, and if I'm with people that can carry me through that episode. And that's what's really important. So when you say, I don't want to lose it, I'm frightened that I might, I say, look, it's going to be a journey of learning to feel. And I did that 30 years ago. I learned to feel for the first time in my life. And it was a scary journey, but may I say it was the most wonderful journey I ever took.
Beth, in asking for the hug and the help that you have sought out, I'm proud of you that you did that, and I bet it was difficult to do. I think you have asked for crumbs, and you probably need daily feasts of comfort from other people around you. In my own process of dealing with my anxiety, I needed a group that was available for daily texts, calls, prayers, encouragement, and I needed to learn to be needy. And to be okay being needy and spread it out amongst a couple of people that were willing for me to even intentionally schedule a lose it session with them. I'm going nuts and I know I'm going to lose it. Let's set it up so that you'll be there with me and you'll pick me up when I have fallen.
So what did it look like when you lost it?
It looked like snotty, messy tears. It looked like letting myself feel the overwhelming fear, being afraid right there in my fear, but revealing it to the trustworthy people who were willing to sit with me and not minimize it and not get me to quiet down and clean up too quickly, but who would sit with me right in the mess for as long as it took.
And when I was at my worst point, I was curled up in a fetal position, and all Kay did was crawl in bed with me and lay next to me and just be with me right there. I was a mess there, too.
Yeah, and you know, there have been some great people that have lost it, and they have received help in the losing. I've talked about Spurgeon when he spoke at this big, huge auditorium. Someone yelled fire, and people died. He was traumatized, and he went to bed for 2 weeks, but in a fetal position, like you were saying, Mylon, but his wife comforted him. And one of the things that God has given us is the ability to kind of reach a point where we say, I have to have somebody else. I need somebody else. And I think the talking to your husband about it, talking to counselor, talking to that friend, talking about it really helps, I think. And I'm glad you called us, because a lot of folks on the anniversary of a death are really, really troubled by it, especially when it's a child. And I hope and pray that something we've said here has been helpful. I want to send you this little workbook.
Very good.
It's on grief. And I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible with it. And I'm really sorry for what you've been going through.
It's painful.
Yeah. But I'm sure glad that you have a love in your heart for that child that you lost. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you need some help, we sure do want to help you. You know, I've said that I think in the Christian community, ungrieved losses is kind of a Christian pandemic that we don't really address very much. And I wish people would see the need to grieve. If you've got this stuff that you're dragging around, you know, maybe, just maybe, you could get rid of it by doing some really tough grief work with a therapist.
In his book, When the Body Says No, Gabor Maté talks about, he's a physician in Canada, and he talks about when we stuff our feelings down in, Steve.
Yeah.
The body says, no, I'm not going to tolerate that. So what happens is we can emotionally stuff, deny, suppress all of our feelings. But what happens, it leaks out someplace else, quite typically in what we call medical diseases or medical, you know, symptoms. And, you know, all the things that that just the inability to bring myself into relationship and to find relief that way, the body rebels, and oftentimes many of our sicknesses come up as a result of stuffing everything. And the body says, I will react to that. And so it's one of the most profound books I ever read.
Well, I've shared this before many times, probably too much, but, you know, when I was moving to California, I didn't know what I was doing, and I'd lived in Texas all my life, and I had panic attacks. I ended up literally dragging myself down the stairs to the front door, begging somebody to take me to the hospital because I was dying.
Aww.
I didn't know what a panic attack was, and I thought I was dying. My heart was going to stop beating, and they took me to the emergency room, and the physician said, here, I'm just going to give you a shot of Valium, and you're going to be fine. I said, no, I'm already about to die. My heart will quit. And he gives me the shot, and about 5 seconds later, okay, well, I was fine. And it was so embarrassing, but you know what? It helped me realize how anxiety-ridden I was. I was denying it until then. So I have experienced what you're talking about. It's not fun either. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of New Life Live. I would love it if you somehow could join Club New Life here at the end of the year, the last 3 months, and we'll send you these books: Conquer Worry and Anxiety by Dr. Amen, Growth Has No Boundaries, Cloud Townsend, Emotional Freedom Workbook, Arterburn and Neal, Change your thoughts, change your life. Dr. Stoop. Forgiving what you'll never forget, Dr. Stoop. Healing is a Choice by Arterburn, and Take Your Life Back Day by Day, Arterburn and Stoop. All of that given to you as a way of saying thank you for becoming part of the New Life family. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out how you could do that. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. One of the treacherous things about the internet and things online is it's all there for us. And we stop reading. And when we read, we become the manufacturer of the scene and the mystery and the drama. And it's just so wonderful. And if you need a nice little novel, The Encounter is one that you could get. It's based on two real stories. And I think a lot of people have enjoyed it. You could ask for that, The Encounter. Ooh, it's a book that a novel and staged in Alaska. So I hope if you like Alaska, maybe you'd like this. Let's go to Bill. He's calling from Detroit, Michigan. We're glad that he is. And Bill, you're on with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. How are you today, and how could we help?
Hi, how you doing? I got some issues. I'm trying to, you know, I'm a father of three daughters, and I have a wife, and I'm just, yeah, I have Mr. Negativity, like, attached to me, like, and, you know, I'm zealous for the Lord, I have a zeal for the Lord, but I have a lot of things hindering me, and from my past, they said I had bipolar, which I think that's a made-up term, but the reason why I think that is because, you know, I have had addiction problems to drugs. And the only reason I had those addiction problems is because in the 80s, my mom and dad signed me up for Ritalin. And I'm afraid to take anything because it screwed me up in the past. But I don't know where else to go. Like, okay. So I take care of myself, like, for trying to find safe medications. I want to be good to my good husband, to my wife, and to my children. But I don't even know where to start half the time.
All right. Well, maybe we can get you started. Milan, where would you suggest that he start?
Well, I always ask the question, what hurts? What is hurting? Why are we asking this question? Because when people hurt, either relationally, emotionally, cognitively, internally, with intrusive thoughts and repetitive cycles of thinking or worry or fear or depression, I always ask, what are the symptoms? What hurts? So if you were to answer that question, what hurts, what would you say? Where is this hurting you?
Yeah, I would say not being able to have enough time with my children, but teaching them the Bible, because I don't have any examples. That didn't come from a biblical foundation, but I don't know where to start to be a godly father or a godly husband. I'm trying, but there's no examples around me. I got a very divisive family, and I just feel like a failure half the time. And I really try, and then it just, you know, I crashed down, and I'm starting to think I might have bipolar. I'm not sure. I've heard you talk about it on your radio station that it isn't a made-up term. It is real.
There's also other things, Bill, that people mislabel bipolar. And just because a person has ups and downs doesn't necessarily mean they have bipolar. Other things can cause that as well. I think the most important thing you could do, Bill, is go to a very experienced doctor. But the first thing I would go to is an excellent therapist or psychologist, talking through your lifestyle, the things you're doing. It sounds like there's a challenge at times with your acceleration and your zeal. You said, you know, you're on fire for Jesus or something along those lines. And then people over-accelerate, and then they then deflate quickly. And sometimes it's a matter of just how much I choose to regulate my choices. So I would recommend seeing someone and getting professional advice as to whether any kind of a medication could help you. So I just really want to encourage you to start there. I don't think this is a time to start making any recommendations to you, other than getting the right professional care that you need.
Bill, did you quit your substance use cold turkey?
After I found the Lord, I suspected so.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you're also trying to go this alone with God's help, but without the help of a lot of good people who are intimately connected with mm-hmm. you, especially good men. And because you had such success quitting your substance use by a decision of your will, I think you're also trying to become a father that you never had mm-hmm. by your own effort. And I so admire your heart. Bill, I think the best parents are those who know they're imperfect and they're willing to talk about it and they're working to become a better father to their children. And I know that that is your heart mm-hmm. for your girls. And you're already giving them a better experience, even in your imperfection, than you received from your parents.
Yeah, and it's so touching to hear your tender heart here. You hold on. We want to talk with you a little bit more here. We want to help you. But we need more people like you. And really, I think sometimes God uses that painful, painful experience to make us better than we ever dreamed that we could be as a parent or as a loving friend. And it seems like to me he's really, really doing some great work in you. And that doesn't mean that you can't have a chemical imbalance or the pathways get messed up, that medication might be able to help. And I think probably it would. I think, we'll give you some more insight here right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and also Dr. Alice Benton. We're talking with Bill, and Bill started out by saying that he felt like bipolar was a made-up word. But, you know, we want to let you know it really isn't a made-up word. And I've found when I found out I had attention deficit disorder in the terminal phase, it was a relief to me that there was something. I wasn't the only one that felt like this. There was a thing. It had symptoms, and it had a treatment. And I'm so glad that I found that treatment, because I don't know what would happen if I hadn't. So I would hope that for you. Anything else you guys want to say to Bill to encourage him? Because, well, he really is, I believe, a man after God's own heart here.
Bill, I don't want you to try to reinvent the wheel for your healing process, because there are so many other people who have walked the path you're on. And they have figured out some of the best ways to do that. And so when you're willing to bring people in to be your guide on the journey, they save you a lot of heartache and a lot of effort that can end in that failure that you talked about, feeling like you're a failure. And I'll tell you personally, I don't want to be on medication. I don't want to have to need it. I want to figure this out on my own. But I deal with an anxiety that oftentimes gets to a level that all my behavioral techniques I know to do and all my prayer and my Bible reading, it just doesn't always take enough of the edge off my anxiety. And so just recently, I got back onto an antidepressant medication for my anxiety, and it makes a world of difference for me. I don't want to be on it, but I do better with it than without it.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah,
go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, they tried to just prescribe me Vraylar, but it messed with my sleep, and I don't think it sort of manipulated my reality, my brain, because I try to take good care of my brain, and it just didn't seem right, so I don't think that's the medication for me. I was just...
Bill, you've had a couple of scares, and I know that makes you very hesitant to try again. But medication, it's described more as an art than a science. And by that, it's very hard for us to know ahead of time which particular medication will work best for which patient. And a lot of people have to go through a couple of different medications before they find the one that's right for them. And that does involve a time process, because it takes several weeks, up to even a month or more, to build up a therapeutic level of medication. So please don't give up because a couple of medications didn't work well for you.
No, that's right. And
yes, ma'am.
And
thank you.
For people that find the right medication, it often it'll work for a while, and then it doesn't for whatever reason work, and you have to find a different one. But there are many, many varieties, and we don't want people on medication if they don't need it, but we also don't want them off medication if they need it. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you this, well, it's the Emotional Freedom Workbook, and I think it could be a big help to you. And Take Your Life Back. Let me send those to you, and I hope and pray that you find some relief, some healing, and stay after God's heart like that. And this is just such an example of, you know, you come to Christ, but that doesn't mean all the problems go away. We still all need to be in process, no matter what. Let's go to Mel. Norristown is the town, and it's WFIL is the station. How you doing there, Mel?
Okay, I don't know where to start. I'm bipolar too, and
okay.
I have a kind of a codependent relationship with my mom. I've always been a people pleaser. Stuff like that. But lately, like today, I woke up and I started feeling, I haven't felt this way in a very long time. I just felt really depressed and like I was in my flesh being real selfish or negative, and my mom's real critical of me sometimes, and she just gets in my head. With COVID, I don't have like a routine or anything, and I just switched my therapist, so... Because she was just telling me the results of what I was doing, and it was just, like, freaking me out. So...
How old are you, Mel? Just curious.
I'm 45.
And are you living with your mom?
No, I live by myself.
Okay. But you have a lot of exposure to her?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also... I talked to my pastor, and he's, like, giving me a recipe of what to do to get out of my flesh or whatever, and I just can't do it. Like,
What does he tell you to do to get... What's he telling you to do to get out of your flesh there?
He said, read Philippians 4 through 8, based on Philippians, to name three people and try to think of positive things about them, and then visualize Jesus, and I'm not sure. He said it really fast, but I'm just like, I'm not sure, like, if I can do that right now, because I'm just so in my head. Like,
yeah.
I felt like a cloud like a visual cloud, like in my eyes this morning when I woke up.
Mel, wow. is your mom one of the few people you're in close contact with?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mel, I'm worried.
And my recovery group.
And go ahead, your recovery group.
My recovery group at church, it seems like I'm not sure if they know what I'm going through or not. Because of the bipolar, like, they don't understand.
Right.
You know, and...
Maybe they don't.
I'm on medication. Like, my friend Corey, she says, you're in the middle of it, and you're just, like, experiencing the pain and the anger of the depression and stuff. You're not at the beginning, you're in the middle of it. But now I'm starting to get, like, depressed. Like, I don't want to get out of bed anymore, but when I lay in bed, I don't feel right. Like, I'm not doing the right thing.
Mel, I get the sense that very well-intentioned folks are giving you some advice that feels to you like a superficial treatment of some much deeper, heavier wounds and issues that you're going through. And then you get a lot of criticism from your mom. And your life has changed so much during the shutdown that I think your world has become very small, and you do feel misunderstood, and you may not be getting the level of help that your heart truly needs during this time.
Yeah, that's it.
So speaking with your pastor and being part of the recovery group, those are good, and they are important. But I want to make sure that you're getting that deeper level of help that you really need right now.
Yeah, I'm not right now. I'm not. And I don't know if I need to go on Prozac or just forget the Abilify because I'm so depressed right now and change it or what. But I'm, like, trying to be my own doctor, and I don't know. Like, last night I took my Abilify, and I just...
Mel, are you under the care of a psychiatrist, or is your medication being prescribed by a primary care physician?
Psychiatrist.
And when was the last time you saw the psychiatrist and told them what was really going on with you?
Last week. I just told her I'm at my wit's end, and she tried to put me on Topamax, and that didn't work out. I went manic.
So getting that advice that didn't work out, I hear you're taking matters into your own hands, and that concerns me. I think you need a team leader in your treatment team whom you can trust and rely on, and I'd recommend you go back. Yes, I'd recommend you go back to the psychiatrist to let them know that what was advised didn't seem to work. So without changing your own medication outside of their advice and guidance, go back to them to let them know that...
I didn't. They took me off the Topamax, I told her.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you're working with her, that you're cooperating with her.
Well, let me just say this. I really believe, Mel... You have to have that psychiatrist that you trust, and you do research with that psychiatrist. You try something. Now, I've had psychiatrists everywhere I've lived. I've had somebody that can help me with the medication. And so we'll find the right medication that works the best. And that's what you need to do. You trust them, and then you communicate, and they change. And if you'll do that, I think eventually you'll find a better medication. Alice, you have some... Yeah, go ahead,
Mel. Just, Mel, I so empathize with what you're going through. It's a very painful place. But this is bigger than just a simple diagnosis and a medication. You are wrestling through 45 years of relational distress, emotional distress.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when somebody says, well, this is a problem of the flesh and all you have to do is memorize this verse or whatever, that's a little deficient in my words. There's a lot of layers here, as Alice said earlier.
Yeah.
More help after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. We've got Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. But hold on, Larry. We want to finish with Mel. Is there anything else we could do to encourage Mel? I want her to get the right kind of care. I am going to send her this little book here on understanding and loving a person who's bipolar. I think it'll have some good insight for her. Maybe she needs to give it to her mother and or the pastor also. But we were talking at the break that we just that there are certain things that certain people can benefit from when they're memorizing scripture or quoting scripture. But sometimes you just have problems that go beyond that, and I think it's important that we realize that.
Because there's behaviors we're told to follow in the New Testament as well, to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to comfort one another, to pray for one another. If we don't have a group of people with whom we do that, like you were saying earlier, Alice, then we're in the state of isolation and we don't have the community that God, wants us to be in. And then we also have to realize, as I was saying to Mel, she has been in a family system that has been unhealthy for 45 years.
Yeah.
And we have to process our way out of that. We have to be able to grieve. We have to be able to talk about it. We have to be able to identify the factors and issues that were the toxic and that were unhealthy. We also have to be able to find the good things in that home that were the good parts, and then be able to put off and put away the things we didn't find helpful, and then find a new family that can help us mature. And so we need other believers that can help lift us up and elevate us into a new level. And that's not easy to find, but we have to search for that, and we have to find a group like that that can give us that kind of support.
I want to encourage Mel, too, because, Mel, I think you are in transition, and I encourage you to persevere through it. You are probably in a season of sowing. And if you continue consistently with that, of engaging with other trustworthy people and telling your story and working to be understood and to understand the people around you, it will move into a transition to a season of harvest. Mm-hmm. So stick with the process.
Amen. Well, Larry Sonnenberg, you are in the studio. What do you have for us today?
Steve, real quick, it's Tuesday. Saturday is every man's battle. So I want to just share another testimony and encourage folks, if you could believe in what you hear happening through what we read and share, please support us. This gentleman says, I attended Every Man's Battle not knowing what to expect. Came here with hurt, pain, uncertainty, and worst of all, a whole lot of hatred and anger. What I have received from this workshop is hopeful and positive vision for the future and my relationship with God and my wife. I've been given an opportunity to see that I can be healed, which in turn helps me to show my growth through my actions and not just my words. And he closes with saying, I know I have a group of men who will pray for me and my situation. Folks, we just want to take people who are full of anger and hatred and turn them into somebody who's hopeful and a positive vision for what's moving forward, because they've been connected with Christ again.
Well, a lot of times a guy may think, I can't go there because there are other Christian men there, and they'll judge me because I'm so angry and all. But hey, everybody's got it, so don't worry about it. Just come, let us help you. We'll give you the best help ever at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and then all the support that you give us, it just helps us reach more people and provide the kind of experience that transforms a life. So if you can help us, please do. We need your help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anything else, Larry, you want to add?
No, just thank you to everybody who's given.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Larry. Okay, well, Gene's our final caller here. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to go to Gene's phone call. Gene, how are you today? How could we help you?
I'm good, thank you. Let me see where I can start. I know you don't have a lot of time. I've had five children of my own, and two of them have alcoholic issues.
Yeah.
But my son, who has two children, but the problem is with the older one that's 18, he just lost his dad a year ago, and They were very close, and I think that's a little bit of the issue with the drinking and smoking cigarettes. And so anyway, we were on a family cookout with just the immediate family, and he just was obnoxious. He was, like, swearing a little and thinking he was funny and saying things, and she was so embarrassed. And I just don't know he does not communicate at all. He's extremely hard to sit and talk to. He just thinks he can do everything on his own. He doesn't need my help at all, so... But I feel as though if he doesn't talk to her and apologize or something, I don't know how this is ever going to come back, you know. And since my husband passed, my granddaughter has really not talked to me much at all. I mean, she will, but she doesn't go out of her way. And I don't see her much like I used to.
Well,
so
is
I don't
this,
know where my place is. Like,
okay, so but is this the kind of thing where you might say to him, I watched that happen, and I really believe that you hurt her because of your drinking, and maybe it's time that you take a look at that drinking?
I'm going to try to say anything to him. He just seems to, like, head towards the door when I try to talk, like, I almost like he's first, like, are you done? And I know he loves me too. He's a great person. He just has a lot of anxiety, but I've got to get him to sit and listen to me somehow. And maybe that's a good idea to say, I've watched it. He needs to know I've seen it. I did approach him at one time. I said, I don't think you remember what you've done. And you owe people an apology. And
I bet he was excited to hear that, huh?
No, not at all. And it's the truth.
Yeah.
So Mylon
or Alice, any insight here before we have to go?
Gene, if he has a lot of anxiety, he may be drinking to help curb the anxiety. And I would maybe start with a discussion.
Sure.
I would maybe start with a discussion about, well, son, how anxious are you? And how prevailing is this emotion? And how debilitating is it? And have you ever thought of the role of alcohol to make that decline? But then there's this catch-22. You may feel less anxious, but you're also hurting people with the things you say. So what do we do about this problem? I'm concerned about your anxiety. I'm also concerned with what your alcohol is doing to other people.
Gene, that's what I have to do.
You might also point out to the fact that the whole family is struggling. He's not the only one, and that you also have your struggles that you're dealing with, and everybody's missing your husband, and his death has affected all of you. So you might invite your son to attend a group with you, a speaker's meeting with you, or even offer to bring him to one of our online New Life weekends, because your whole family is hurting and needs help. And if you make it more inclusive like that, it might be more digestible to him.
That's a great idea, Alan.
And then just a caution to you, you know, this isn't the time to say, that's going to hurt me too much to do it or whatever. But it really is the time to step out and be willing to be rejected again, but to say, here's what I'm thinking. If you're not thinking that the drinking here is impacting this relationship with your 18-year-old, you know, it is, and it's time that you take a look at it. Well, I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and a workbook, and I'll send you How We Love also. You can see how this relationship's playing out. Thanks. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.